are created by the Supreme Lord, by His one of energies, through His material manifestation, He creates all that. So all the 84 lakh species of life are created by the Supreme Lord. It is not that they evolve gradually, but they were simultaneously created. And according to their previous desires, whatever they had earlier desires in the previous kalpa, again when the new creation took place, again they were manifested as it is. So this shows that Krishna is the ultimate controller. And here we can see that Brahma, he is very, very powerful personality in this material universe. And it is explained that the secondary creation, the creation of all these different species, is done by Brahmaji. But ultimately the knowledge of that creation is also given by the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord doesn't give the knowledge, then Brahmaji cannot create anything. So in the very beginning, when Brahmaji was alone in this material universe, he was trying to understand what is the source, where is coming from. So at that time, when he was not able to understand by his own intellectual powers, that time Lord revealed to him. In his heart he heard these two words, syllables, tapa. And he understood that now I have to perform austerity, tapa. And he performed austerities for many years. And then he received the knowledge of creation, the secondary creation. And in this way he created all these different species. So from that point of view, we can understand that how much powerful Brahma is. He created so many species. That was a task given to him. And it is explained that Brahmaji is in his second half of life. He has crossed 50 years. So it was revealed to him when he was performing austerities that his own nature, what he is in the spiritual world, was revealed to him. So what he had to do is just continue devotional service, whatever he has been doing, and he will go back home, back to Godhead. He doesn't have to come back again in this material world. Although he is very close to spiritual world, Brahmaloka, is very close in that sense, but still not that close that he can just go anytime he wants. When Lord Krishna will call, then one will be able to go. We cannot try to enter into spiritual world. It is also explained that we cannot barge in the kingdom of the God. So when that Supreme Lord will call, then we will be able to enter there. And here Brahmaji was able to see these wonderful pastimes which happen in the spiritual world, in this material world. He was able to see these wonderful pastimes of Krishna playing with his coward friends. They play with each other just like two ordinary friends. They steal each other's food. They make mischief. So this, when Brahmaji was observing all this, he developed some kind of desire that let me also do the same thing what his friends are doing. What is wrong? I am also such a powerful personality. And if I do some mischief, that is all right. He just took it for granted. And he tried, and Krishna allowed, in fact, Krishna allowed to steal his friends. Otherwise Krishna would not have allowed. Krishna who is the supreme knower. He understands everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. He explains that whatever has happened in the past, whatever is happening in the present, and whatever happen in the future, all living entities, I know everyone. Nobody can escape. That time, when he was put under some kind of Krishna's one energy, bewildering energy, and he could steal Krishna's friends. But at the same time, Krishna could not be tricked. Krishna was not bewildered. He understood that Brahmaji is playing some mischief. Krishna also played a trick with him. Krishna, how he bewilders Krishna. Krishna bewilders Brahma. That is wonderful to see here in this pastime. That Brahmaji tried to bewilder Krishna, but Krishna bewildered. And when he comes back here, he is observing all this and is getting more bewildered. So therefore, there are various lessons to be learned in this pastime. That Srila Prabhupada explains that the talk between spiritual master and disciple are serious. One should not think that, I am so close to spiritual master, so now I can do anything. I can joke with spiritual master. That should not happen. One should not become familiar with spiritual master. Although sometimes he may be very close, he may ask for guidance, or so many friendly ways he will try to be close. But still, the disciple should know that he should not take for granted. That he should not think that now I have become equal with my spiritual master. He should never think like that. There is one incident during Prabhupada's time, that Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan in 1974, he had come from some other place. There was urgency that he wanted to construct this Krishna Balaram Mandir, and there were certain problems with land. One person you had committed to give this land, but he wanted the front portion of that land, 50 feet something, which was not proper. Didn't like that idea, and he immediately was pushing his disciples that he should construct a wall around his land so that he cannot again take it back. So that time, in one early morning, Srila Prabhupada was writing something, translating his books, around 4 a.m. in the morning. He had got up at 2 a.m. and he was writing, and it was quite cold, and he was writing something. And one secretary he had appointed, he was sitting at the doorsteps, waiting. Anytime Prabhupada wants anything, he was ready to come and serve him. So that time, Prabhupada called him inside. And he came and sat next to Prabhupada in front of him. And Prabhupada told him to read the story of King Nruga. So he immediately went and brought Krishna book, that time volume 2, and he asked, this disciple asked, that shall I read it loud? So Prabhupada said, yes, read it loudly. So he started reading this story of King Nruga. We will see that story also. So he started reading loudly. And then, first of all, he was not able to understand that why suddenly Prabhupada is asking me to read this story. But he was reading. And as he was reading, he started realizing something, that he had committed one mistake. And he started realizing that, yes, I actually did that mistake, and Prabhupada is rightly correcting me. But in a very, very polite way, he is correcting me. He is not just chastising, blasting me with words and rectifying me. But he is giving me some higher realization. So, as he was reading, that he was meditating that Prabhupada used to receive so many gifts. People used to come and give gifts to him. And some were like many simple things, like shawls, socks, and so many. Winter was there, quite cold. People used to give. And Prabhupada would use some of them, and many things he would distribute to his disciples. So that time, without permission of Prabhupada, this disciple had taken a pair of socks. He thought that, anyways, Prabhupada is not going to use that. There are so many extra pairs of socks. So it doesn't matter if I take one pair. It's already cold. And that time it was quite cold in Vrindavan, and he was quite austere. So he took it. He took that pair of socks. And then as he was reading, he was realizing, this is the mistake I have committed, and I should not have done this. He was repenting. In his heart, he was repenting. And then he completed reading the entire chapter. It is almost 10 pages he was reading. And then after that, there was a silence for 5 minutes. Prabhupada didn't say anything. Prabhupada was, he didn't say anything, but he was just doing his work. But this disciple was, he was, when there is a silence, then there is more disturbance, right? That one doesn't know what is going to come next. Somebody talks good, we feel nice. Somebody talks bad, we feel bad. But somebody neglects, it is miserable, it is said. One feels quite miserable. So he was going through a lot of turmoil in his heart. And then he, Prabhupada told him to write, to type the story of King Nruga. He, that time still, he didn't accept that he had committed that mistake. So Prabhupada went to the next level. You would now type the entire story of King Nruga. And then still Prabhupada didn't say that, why did you take away that pair of socks? He didn't say anything. And then he told that, okay, I want to write one letter. And he immediately came with his notepad and started writing. And Prabhupada was telling, he was writing letter to Mr. S. That time in Vrindavan, there was some different S. In Mumbai, there was Mr. N was there. And there was Dr. Mr. S. Different people Prabhupada faced. So Prabhupada was dictating this story almost, King story of King Nruga, and how it is not proper to take back whatever has been gifted to a guru or a brahmana, one should not take it back. And this person had done some kind of gift deed of this land. And but of course a formal documentation was not done. Certain things were hanging. So Prabhupada was immediately, therefore pushing his disciples to immediately build a temple there, construct a wall. So Prabhupada was dictating that this story of King Druga, he was almost dictating that story. And then Prabhupada told his devotee to leave. And then afterwards he came back to his room and started typing the story of King Druga as an atonement. He understood that he committed this mistake and should not have taken those pair of socks. So that shows that how Prabhupada, nobody could cheat him. Even his so close disciples, they were so close actually. Prabhupada could have immediately overlooked that. He could have thought that it may be a small mistake or it's not that serious. But Prabhupada wanted that his disciples should be thorough gentlemen. They cannot think that now they have become equal with Prabhupada, they can take things for granted. And they have to be thoroughly transparent. It's not that I speak something and do something. The behavior should be perfect. Otherwise it remains a theoretical knowledge. We are speaking very nice philosophy, but when it comes to practice, we are very harsh towards others and like that. So one has to be very, very careful in his dealings with everyone. And this is very, very important that we respect spiritual master in that way. And from Brahma's point of view also, Krishna was his spiritual master. And if he displeases spiritual master, then there is no gati, there is no any hope for him. Every morning we sing that yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat na gati kutoti. That simply by pleasing spiritual master, one can please Krishna. And if one displeases spiritual master, then there is no hope. So, therefore, disciples should be very careful that somehow that he tries to please his spiritual master. And that is the only hope we have. We cannot directly please Krishna. That is not possible. Krishna has sent spiritual master. And if we serve his instructions, then only we have some hope. So therefore sometimes the instructions may be very difficult to follow. But still, a disciple should not give up. He should be very careful in following the orders of his spiritual master. And one should not steal anything of spiritual master's property. And there are many, many instructions. One should not even use the paraphernalia given by spiritual master. He should worship such tadiya, it is the maha of the spiritual master. Even the premises of spiritual master, one should not stay. He should worship that place. So there, like that, there are many, many instructions. And his story of King Druga is also very important to understand that Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, that time he had big family, so many palaces and wives and children were there. And some of the children, they went to one forest near Dwarka, and they were playing in the forest. And somehow that they were thirsty. They approached one well. And in that well they saw a different creature, a big lizard they saw. And when they tried to bring out that lizard, but they couldn't. So they went back and told Krishna that we have seen this wonderful creature in this well. It is just staying there. So Krishna comes there and he extends his left hand and brings out that lizard. And as soon as that lizard is touched by Lord Krishna's lotus hand, this lizard assumes its original form of a demigod. Very nice ornaments, clothes and helmet and like that. He effulgent personality, he manifests this form. So everyone was astonished to see that how this person, this lizard has acquired this form. That is the original form of this lizard. So Krishna, who knows everything, he knew that he was a king in Ruga and there was some mistake happened, and therefore he was cursed to become, or according to his destiny he had to become lizard. So Krishna still asks him to tell his story. He tells him that how you assume this form, now you are such a wonderful demigod, but how you had come to this situation, what had happened? And Krishna tells, if it is alright you tell. So then this King Druga, he starts telling his story. He tells that I was King Druga, son of Ikshvaku. We know that this transcendental knowledge was given to sun god Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave to Manu, and Manu gave to Ikshvaku, the dynasty of, in which dynasty Lord Ram appeared. So Ikshvaku was, this King Druga was son of Ikshvaku. And he was very, very pious king. And he explains that if you have counted or noticed the very, very charitable personalities in the history, then my name will come. He was that famous in giving charity. And he tells that he was giving charity to Brahmanas. He was giving cows in charity to Brahmanas. And he explained that how many cows he had given in charity. Innumerable cows. He explains that he had given the cows as many as number of particles on earth. Can you count the number of particles on earth? That many cows. Then the droplets in rain, when the rain falls, how many droplets are there? That many droplets. So in this way he was telling that he had given innumerable cows. So like that, there was no count how many cows he had given in charity. And then he goes on to explain that what type of cows they were. These cows were very, very wonderful cows actually. These cows had given birth to one calf, only one calf. They were very healthy. And these cows were giving a lot of milk. And they were decorated. Their horns were decorated with gold plates. Their hooves were decorated with silver. And lot of ornaments. This each cow was having nice clothes and everything. So such cows he had given in charity. So many innumerable cows. And he had given charity to well-qualified brahmanas. And these brahmanas were also not ordinary brahmanas. They were very, very qualified brahmanas. And it is explained that these brahmanas were well-versed in Vedic knowledge. Very, very learned brahmanas. At the same time, they were performing a lot of austerities. And at the same time, merciful to all living entities. They were very merciful to everyone. And these brahmanas were poor brahmanas. I mean, they did not have so many material wealth. They were in need of some necessities. So such brahmanas. And it is explained that why they brahmanas were like that. That is, the real brahmana will not acquire wealth. He will try to keep himself under poverty-stricken condition. That's very, very high standard. We cannot imagine also. But that type of brahmanas, this King Nrugap was giving charity to. So, these brahmanas were also young brahmanas. They were ready to act as brahmanas. So in this way, all situations were perfect. Very, very proper. And this king knew that this is the duty of a king. According to the Vedic civilization, cows should be given in charity. That is the standard. Now, of course, we have a lot of cow production sevas going on. But still, very different response. Very few people, they come forward. But earlier, that was the standard. To give something in charity means to give cows in charity. That was cow godan and like that. And then this king tells that when he was doing this charity, he was giving charity. Once he had given one cow to one brahmana. He gave, and this brahmana went, and somehow other this cow came back, came back and mixed with another cows, and this king didn't realize that the next brahmana came and he gave that same cow to another brahmana, and it happened by mistake. He didn't do it deliberately. So he both the brahmanas came, and when they came, they started quarreling. They thought that maybe this king has taken back that cow. That was some other, they interpreted. They thought that king has again taken back that cow. And it went into some kind of litigation. It's very difficult to resolve certain issues. So he thought that one cow, they are fighting for one cow. I'll give 100,000 cows to both of them. Conflict resolution. Both parties are satisfied. Win-win situation. So he told them that you take 100,000 cows. Both of them he told. But they didn't agree. They say that no, we want only that cow. So that was a big problem. So he was pleading to please take these cows, otherwise please do not curse me that I will go to hell. Like that he was very pleading to them, requesting, but it didn't happen. And ultimately they went dissatisfied. They went, both of the brahmanas, they went like that. So that was a small mistake happened unknowingly. We can imagine the number of cows he had given, so many pious activities he had given, and not only just giving cows in charity, but he had done many other pious activities like digging the well or giving planting the trees, constructing ponds on the roadside, like that. So many pious activities he had done. So there is no dearth of his pious activities. But still, unknowingly, one small mistake happened. And then we'll see what happens next. So then he continues to explain that when he dies, everyone has to die ultimately, whoever, maybe a wealthy or rich or small, poor, and he dies. And then Yamaraj, he is taken in front of Yamaraj, and then everything is all we have to put forward. They know everything. We don't have to tell that I have done such and so and so thing. They know, they all, everything is counted there. There are different witnesses, they are counting all our good deeds and bad deeds. They are noting down every moment, whatever you do, they are just noting down. And in Kali Yuga, maybe they have to do overtime. So, it's all, but they have to do that. That's their job. Yamadutas and like that. So, when this king was brought in front of Yamaraj, that time, usually they are given to Yamadutas and they do the needful things. But he was taken to Yamaraj, court of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is one of the Mahajanas. His duty is to check and balance everything. So he was checking what is there in his quota. And then he told that, I am really amazed. Yamaraj was surprised. He told that, you have done so many pious activities. How much enjoyment you will have in the heavenly kingdom. I can't just imagine. Yamaraj was telling him. But there is little bit mistake or one pious, impious activity has happened. So he was given a choice. Usually such choice is not given. But he was given a choice. Okay, so what do you want to do? You want to first suffer for your impious activities? Or you want to enjoy for whatever good pious activities you had done? So this king decides that, okay, I have to enjoy so many years in heavenly kingdom, so better first I suffer what I have done wrong for. So he asks Yamaraj that, okay, let me suffer for my impious activity. So as soon as he tells, he was made into a lizard and thrown into this well. So that shows that this law of karma is so complex, very, very complicated, that one may think that how just a small mistake, and this king, he was a big king, and just imagine, just there is no calculation. I mean, this is very, very unfair, somebody may say that. But that was the reaction, that he dissatisfied brahmanas and like that. So many, the case was quite complicated. So that was the reaction he got. Maybe Mahaprabhuji may know that whatever people are doing, so many wrongs, but still they try to prove no, I am not wrong, right? They go to lawyers and they try to prove themselves correct. And that's how things are going on in this material world. Material world we can escape, but the laws of nature, nobody can escape. So, then when this story he told to Lord Krishna and all other children were also there, they were also hearing. So later on, this king assumes, because he receives the mercy of Lord Krishna. Somehow there it is explained that although he was doing so many pious activities, he maintained his memory, previous life memory. And he understood that that was a mistake, and he had some kind of desire also to see Krishna. Usually somebody engages into pious activities just like it becomes like a ritual, just to do pious activities, acquire wealth and be happy in this material world. But there is something higher actually. By doing all these good activities, ultimately the Supreme Lord has to be pleased. If one is not able to please the Supreme Lord, yajna arthat karma na netra lokoyam karma bandhana, that otherwise it binds one to this material world. Even if it may be a very good activity, but if it is not done for the pleasure of the Lord, then it again binds one to this material world. So therefore, if one has to come out of this karma or the very stringent rules of this material world, then one has to perform activities for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. Then one can free himself from all these complications. So then he wanted to see Krishna, and when he is seeing Krishna face to face, he offers his obeisances, and then the airplane comes to him to take him to heavenly planets, and he takes the permission of Lord Krishna and goes. And in this way, again he goes back, again he goes to heavenly planets. And then afterwards, Lord Krishna, he calls all of his princes and children and tells them that how you have to be very cautious in dealing with material world. He tells that even a brahmana who is very very powerful, and the king is he's under some particular king, he should not try to usurp the property of this brahmana by any means, knowingly, unknowingly. He should not try to cheat brahmana. And he explains that if somebody dissatisfies a brahmana, then the fire caused by the anger of this brahmana can destroy one's family, his own family, and so many generations, they can be destroyed just by the anger of the brahmana. And it is, if one drinks poison, it will not be that bad as displeasing a brahmana or taking the property of a brahmana. So that was Krishna's instruction to his sons. And he tells that if somebody just touches the property of brahmana, then three generations of this brahmana ruin. That is the reaction, three generations. And somebody by force he tries to take the property of Brahmana. Then 10 generations ahead and 10 generations behind, they have to suffer. So that is the reaction one may get. So therefore, Krishna was cautioning all these children that how much we should be careful. Krishna was worshipping Brahmanas. He showed by his own example that how he was taking care of Brahmanas when Sudama, Brahmana, he came, how he worshipped him. When Narad Muni came, how he took care of him. So many ways actually Krishna was showing by his own example that how one has to worship Brahmana. And here he was telling all his children that how you should be careful, that you should not take the property of Brahmana. And even you should not desire. Otherwise also, one's duration of life is reduced. Even if somebody desires, I want to steal, that is also reaction may come. So in this way, Krishna was instructing to his sons that how one should be extremely careful. And here we can see that Brahma, he stole his spiritual master's property in that sense, and he was bewildered. But of course, he agreed that he had committed a mistake. Usually somebody commits mistake and he is caught, they don't agree that they had committed a mistake. They try to patch up. No, I didn't do anything, I am a perfect person. And they try to show that I am very, very clean person. No, I am not doing any wrong. Although they may be doing so many wrong activities. But here in this case, we can see that that is what should be our attitude, even if we commit mistake. We should atone for that. We should do some kind of repentance. And Prabhupada explains that what is repentance, and that is engaging into devotional service. One should not give up devotional service. But devotional service, one will get purified. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate maam ananyapa. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that even if somebody has committed the most abominable activity, but still if one continues in engaging in devotional service, he will be forgiven. He will get purified. And in Kali Yuga, it's so difficult. People are, they don't know also that they are committing sinful activities. Right? There is so much ignorance is spread that people, they don't realize also that this is a sinful activity. And for every sinful activity, there is a reaction. So, only process is the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare. So this chanting will help us to become purified. And Brahmaji also, we can see that when he committed this mistake, in the next chapter we'll see that he offers so many prayers to Lord Krishna. And he is telling that who is qualified for receiving the mercy. Tatenu kampa susumshambhama bhunjana yatma kritam vipak. So in that he explains that somebody is doing activities and he gets some suffering condition. And he thinks that it is my own deeds, because it is because of me I had done something wrong, therefore I am getting wrong as a reaction. But still continues to serve the Supreme Lord in a very, very grateful heart. Such person is qualified for liberation. So in this way he offers so many prayers. But still Krishna is not pleased. Later on it is explained that Brahmaji, after this pastime, he goes to Navadvip, Mayapur Yatra. Devotees are gone to Mayapur Yatra. So he goes to Navadvip, at place Antardvip. He goes there and performs penances that he had committed, such a mistake. It is not that Krishna came and everything was over, but still in his heart he was repenting, and he was thinking that I had to repent for this. And he goes to this place and he performs penances, and Lord Krishna as Lord Gauranga appears there. He appears there and gives him Brahmantar, most confidential knowledge, Antardvip, where Antar means secret, confidential knowledge is revealed. So that is the central part of Navadvip. There are 9 islands. The central part is Navadvip, Antardvip, where this most confidential knowledge was given by Lord Gauranga himself. And he tells him that in future I am going to come. This story occurred in Dwapar Yuga. And then he tells that in future, that means in Kali Yuga I am going to come. After some 1,000 years I am going to come. And I'll come as Lord Gauranga. And I will perform this congregational chanting of holy name. And I will give them the most confidential knowledge. So Brahmaji, he wanted to participate in this pastime of Lord Gauranga. And he comes as Srila Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He was born in Muslim family, but it is explained that right from his childhood he was somewhat attached to chanting of the holy name. In Kali Yuga there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way except the chanting. So this chanting will purify the soul, because we are all spirit souls. We are there in this mortal world for so many lifetimes, and contamination, the consciousness has been covered with so much contamination. So only the chanting of the holy name is a remedy. And if somebody chants in a proper attitude, then even he may be a dog eater, it is explained, still he will be elevated to the level of becoming a spiritual master. That is the power of the holy name. That simply by chanting the holy name, one can become so much purified. And not only that, he will realize his own nature. And at the end of the life, he doesn't have to come back in this mortal world. In fact, within this lifetime only, he can realize his own original sorrow. So that is the power. And Srila Haridas Thakur, he came to show how to chant the holy name. And we can see that in his lifetime also, he faced so many difficulties. The Muslim Chand Qazi was trying to beat him at 22 marketplaces. But still, he continued to chant. And in fact, he was praying for all of them. He was so compassionate that he was praying for them also. So in this way, we can see that Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, he was made a Namacharya, the Acharya of the holy name. How to chant the holy name? What is the science of the holy name? We commit ourselves to chant 16 rounds on our beads, our own beads. right? So many we have to chant. So how to chant this holy name? There are these rules and details. What is the potency of this holy name? That is all given by Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, who is none other than Lord Brahma. So Krishna is revealing his removing that bewildering potency, and again he will see that all the coward boys like that. And although he was a big personality, he was such a powerful position, but still he was under bewilderment. And after a few days we will see even Lord Indra, Govardhan Puja, he also commits some kind of mistake, and then again he comes to beg forgiveness. So like this, we'd like to end. Anybody has any questions or comments? No comments. Srinathji Prabhu. Okay, we'll stop. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.